Welcome to the FMC Technologies second quarter earnings analyst call. My name is Paulette, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Brad Alexander. Mr. Alexander, you may begin.
Thank you, Paulette. Good morning and welcome to FMC Technologies' second quarter 2014 earnings conference call. Our news release and financial statements issued yesterday can be found on our website. I would like to caution you with respect to any forward-looking statements made during this call. Although these forward-looking statements are based on our current expectations, beliefs, and assumptions regarding future developments and business conditions, they are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed in or implied by these statements. Known material factors that could cause our actual results to differ from our projected results are described in our 10-K, 10-Q, and other filings with the SEC. We wish to caution you not to place undue reliance on any forward-looking statements which speak only as of the date hereof. We undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise any of our forward-looking statements after the date they are made, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to John Grimp, FMC Technologies Chairman, President, and CEO.
Good morning. Welcome to our second quarter 2014 conference call. With me today is Marianne Seaman, our Chief Financial Officer. I'll discuss highlights from the quarter, Marianne will provide specifics on our financial performance, and then we'll open up the call for your questions. We delivered strong quarterly operational results driven primarily by our subsea performance. Total company quarterly revenue was $2 billion and operating profit was $291 million. Earnings were 72 cents per diluted share for the quarter when excluding the gain related to the sale of our material handling products businesses. Subsea activity remains strong overall, despite no large contracts awarded during the quarter. We received $850 million of subsea awards in the quarter, and these inbound orders included small project awards, many from our partners, and continued growth in our subsea service revenue. Subsea margins increased sequentially as we projected. Our focus on improving project execution and reducing our cost structure over the past few quarters is reflected in our increased subsea margins. More importantly, we are demonstrating our ability to more reliably execute complex subsea projects to meet our customers' requirements in this growing market. Examples of this focus on execution include our progress in completing Petrobras pre-salt trees with a high level of local content on time, and successfully achieving critical equipment deliveries for Total's CLOV project in Angola that recently delivered first oil on schedule. One of the emerging areas for deepwater subsea growth in the Gulf of Mexico is the Paleogene Trend, also referred to as the Lower Tertiary. This geological trend is characterized by extreme reservoir conditions with well pressures at the seabed of up to 20,000 psi and temperatures of 350 degrees Fahrenheit. To address this challenge, we've reached an agreement with Anadarko, BP, ConocoPhillips, and Shell to develop the next generation of high-pressure and high-temperature subsea production equipment. This milestone agreement for the industry establishes a comprehensive program for collaboratively designing and qualifying subsea equipment to enable production from these fields. This collaboration on achieving standardization of these systems will improve our customers' returns by reducing the overall upfront cost of developing the technology, and this will also increase the reliability of the hardware and shorten the time to first oil. We are very encouraged to see this level of demonstrated commitment to standardization within the industry, and are hopeful this will be a model for approaching similar challenges in the future. Turning to our Surface Technology segment, we reported strong sequential revenue growth in the second quarter as both our surface wellhead and fluid control businesses performed well. Our surface wellhead international business continues to be strong as a result of active Middle East, North Sea, and Africa markets, our strong market position, and our industry-leading execution performance. Fluid control activity also continued to strengthen as repair and replacement revenue increased and the first signs of some capital equipment orders materialized. We are very well positioned to successfully meet the demand of this recovering market. To strengthen our Surface Technologies position in the dynamic North America market, we've restructured our surface wellhead and completion service businesses to both integrate services and introduce new commercial and technical solutions. These steps will reduce cost and shorten lead time for sale of products and services unique to the shale plays and pad drilling sites. In addition, we've combined our flowback service capability with water treatment technology to address the critical water usage and disposal challenges facing the industry. We've completed a number of pilot projects for customers with positive results and expect to advance to commercial products and services. Briefly looking at the second half of the year, in Subsea, we're pleased with our execution improvements through the first half of the year and are on track to deliver mid-teen Subsea margins in the back half of the year. We continue to see strong Subsea market environment. Most of our competitors have large backlogs, and our customers want to proceed with developing their extensive deepwater portfolios. We are on track to exceed $5 billion in both Subsea orders and Subsea revenue this year, and based on named projects under development, we expect continued strength in 2015. In Surface Technologies, our international surface wellhead business continues to deliver solid performance, and this bodes well for strong full-year 2014 results. North America orders, primarily in fluid control, increased sequentially, and we've gained confidence that this higher level of activity should continue throughout the second half of the year as customers have begun to now place capital equipment orders. Marianne will now take you through some of the financial details for the quarter.
Thanks, John. Our operations performed well in the second quarter. Subsea Technologies' operating profit was $194 million in the quarter, with a margin of 14.6%. Subsea Technologies' operating margins improved 390 basis points year over year, with operating profits increasing 61%. Stronger gross margin performance and an improved cost structure in our Subsea Systems business contributed to the expected improvement. Sequentially, margins increased as our subsea service activity increased and both our project portfolio and execution on our backlog continue to improve. This quarterly progress continues to give us confidence in the full-year performance that we have been forecasting. We expect to deliver similar subsea operating margins in the second half of the year. We continue to see very strong performance in both our Western region and Brazil operations. Additionally, the headcount reductions and other operational improvements that have been executed in our Eastern region created a cost structure that is better aligned with our level of activity. This structure and operational efficiency should continue to support our improving performance going forward. Moving to our Surface Technology results, Surface Technologies' operating profit for the second quarter was $79 million, a 38% increase from the prior year quarter. Margins in the quarter were 15.5%. North America fluid control orders were strong throughout the quarter. Repair and replacement activity is the primary driver of our stronger orders. However, we are now beginning to see some customers place capital orders associated with new fleet construction. This is offset somewhat by sequentially lower levels of customer restocking, which appears to be nearing completion. These developments have increased our confidence in the state of the North American market as we look at the remainder of the year. Our international surface wellhead business experienced the anticipated sequential increase in activity and continued to perform well as activity grew year over year. Our backlog supports the strong year-over-year revenue performance that we expect. As forecast, completion service was negatively impacted by Canadian breakup this quarter. As we come out of this period, we expect its performance to improve as the Canadian market outlook appears to be strengthening. Surface Technologies' margins will grow in the coming quarters and allow us to deliver better full-year margins than we previously forecast. We now anticipate delivering margins in a range of 17% to 18% for the full year. Orders for Surface Technologies for the quarter were $502 million, driven by the uptick in fluid control orders. Fluid control sales are now at their highest level in the last 2 years. Surface Technologies backlog exiting the quarter stands at $779 million. This supports our continued confidence in our full-year revenue and operating income growth expectations for this segment. Energy infrastructure operating income for the second quarter was $18 million, with margins of 12.2%. This excludes the gain from the sale of the material handling products business, which was completed earlier in the quarter. Let's turn to corporate items. Corporate expense in the quarter was $16.8 million. We expect this expense to be approximately $17 to $18 million per quarter throughout the remainder of 2014. Other revenue and expense net reflects income of $68 million. This includes the pre-tax gain on the material handling sale of $86 million. We expect other revenue and expense net to be approximately $40 million of expense in the second half of the year. This estimate is subject to foreign currency fluctuations and includes an expense associated with a planned de-risking of our pension plan of approximately $20 million, which should be incurred in the fourth quarter. Our second quarter tax rate was 32.2%, which reflects a larger concentration of U.S. earnings. We now anticipate our 2014 tax rate to be between 32 and 34% for the full year. Capital spending this quarter was $88 million, primarily directed towards Subsea Technologies expansion initiatives. We expect capital spending in 2014 to be approximately $400 million. At the end of the second quarter, we had net debt of $928 million. It is comprised of $382 million of cash and $1.3 billion of debt. We averaged 237.2 million diluted shares outstanding in the quarter, and we repurchased 471,000 shares of stock during the second quarter at an average cost of $55.67 per share. In summary, we had a solid operational quarter as our Subsea Technologies results continued to improve. The results of our better execution on an improved backlog and the realization of our implemented operational and cost efficiencies. Our Surface Technologies operating results were driven by the strengthening North America land market and an international business that is continuing to perform at the high levels we began delivering in 2013. Looking forward, we are increasing our diluted earnings per share guidance to a range of $2.70 to $2.80, which excludes the gain associated with the sale of the material handling products business. This reflects increased belief in the full-year sustainability of the North American recovery and its impact on our Surface Technologies business. It also includes increased confidence in our ability to deliver full-year subsea EBIT margins in a range of 13 to 14%. We continue to forecast that our subsea revenue and orders will exceed $5 billion in 2014. We are very pleased with our financial performance throughout the first half of the year and look forward to continuing to deliver solid results throughout the remainder of the year. Operator, you may now open up the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Please limit yourselves to one question and one follow-up question. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Brad Handler from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Brad.
I guess I'll target Surface, and perhaps a little bit more color around your conversation with respect to the orders. So the $502 million in orders were down sequentially, and yet I think your narrative suggests strength in fluid control, and so maybe just a little bit more color about some of the segments within that order book, and perhaps an understanding as to how it stepped down sequentially, please.
Red, for fluid control in the first quarter, we had a kind of a rush of restocking orders that came in the first quarter, and that wasn't repeated in the second. We didn't expect it to be repeated in the second quarter. So that's one reason why we're optimistic about fluid control orders going forward, is because the first quarter was kind of an anomaly. But I think when you look at the second quarter fluid control orders, they were solid in terms of consumables. And then, as I mentioned in my prepared remarks, we saw the first signs of capital orders, and that's what gives us a lot. And then also some, you know, comments from the industry. Now the pressure pumpers saying they want to add capacity. These are all good signs for fluid control. But if you're worried about the sequential drop-off, I'd say fluid contribute a little bit because first quarter was unusually high.
Okay, that's helpful. Perhaps as a follow-up and related to the same, what lead times are you able to quote now? I suppose on pumps, I imagine your turn on treating iron is still very short, but on pumps, what lead times are you quoting? And maybe the basis for the question is, if we are starting to see a lot of indications of build in fracking equipment, not sure whether there's any delay in you receiving your order for the pump relative to the indications or other long lead items for building out a frack fleet.
Brad, during the last ramp-up in 2011, we substantially increased our capacity at our Stephenville facility where all this equipment is being manufactured. So whether it's for treating iron, I know you asked specifically about pumps, but whether it's for treating iron or pumps, we have more than enough capacity to meet demand. But you're right. In the in that market, there is really no backlog. When the call comes for your treating iron, you have to have it. And that was what I said in my prepared remarks. We are especially ready for a ramp-up on treating iron, for sure. And also for the pumps, you know, we geared up. We're relatively new pump manufacturer, but we geared up for a lot larger volume than actually what we ever saw in pumps. So I don't anticipate any lead time issues or capacity issues with regard to serving the market, whether it's for treating iron or for pumps. And I think the supply chain, we've been pretty careful in anticipation of this recovery to make sure that our inventories and our supply chain was well stocked. We don't want to miss any part of this recovery.
And our next question comes from Ole Slaoyer from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. I wonder whether you could just get a little bit more color on the surface side with respect to what's relating to pressure pumping, given that this appears to be sort of at an very early stages of an upswing. I mean, how much of your surface revenues in the quarter, roughly, were driven by either fluid ends and treating iron or any kind of complete product for spreads?
Yeah, Ola, hi, good morning. So, you know, we've seen, as you know, from the first quarter, some strength coming out of fluid control in the back half of the year, and that largely was being driven by sort of the replacement cycle, you know, the restocking, if you will. You know, in the second quarter, we continued to see sort of the repair and replacement, and now what we're beginning to see is, you know, sort of somewhat of the tailing off, if you will, of that restocking, and beginning to see sort of the new orders for the capital expansion. So a lot of the change quarter to quarter sequentially was driven by the strength in the fluid control business, as we saw kind of a continuation of the back half of the year.
So would it be fair to say that this is still a smallish part of your surface technology revenues?
I'm sorry, what is it, a what, please?
Smallest part.
Would it be fair to say that this is still a small part of your surface technology overall revenues?
Sure, that would be fair to say.
Okay, this was on the subsea side, the margins very strong and very strong compared to what we see out of any of your peer group. So I just want to get a little bit more color on whether there was something unique in this quarter, that timing of orders, shipments, anything along those lines. I know your accounting method should really smoothen that out, but versus something which is more structural as a shift in your business. Relates to new products from subsea intervention, for example. You had some downtime on both in the first quarter, or dockings, etc. Now you're rolling out a much more capital-intensive service part of that business that could, in my view, structurally change the margins. But I just want to get a little bit of an understanding of if you could walk us through the rather large step up from first to second quarter.
Ole, it's almost all exclusively related to execution. I think I've been sharing in these calls for the last year and a half that our margins and backlog have continued to walk up as a result of more favorable market conditions. And the second quarter, quite frankly, reflects that better priced backlog flowing through the P&L with substantially better execution. I don't think there was anything abnormal about it other than this is how we intend to run the business going forward, and these are the kinds of margins you should expect from a company that's executing well.
And our next question comes from Bill Herbert from Simmons & Company. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. John, back to the subsea outlook for a second here. Given the strength that we witnessed in the first half, especially in the first quarter with regard to inbound, I think there's not a crisis in confidence with regard to the $5 billion target for this year in orders. What would be helpful is really in terms of the roadmap for second half, in terms of what do you think is a decent estimate for book-to-bill on the one hand, and also the composition of orders in the second half of the year. I would expect that you would embed it in your forecast, be counting on a major project or two in addition to the onesies and twosies.
Right, Bill. The roadmap, so let me just address that head on. The roadmap for the second half is that what I'm going to call our base business, which we're really encouraged from the second quarter with no major awards won to book $850 million of what I'm going to call base business. It's coming from strong service subsea service revenue and call-offs from our partners. I was impressed by how good that number was and certainly hopeful that that will continue through the second half of the year. And then you put on top of that, and so you were looking at $2.8 billion in inbound orders for the first half. You add this base load for two more quarters and put on top of that one or two, probably two, targeted projects, which we fully expect to book this year, and you get over $5 billion.
Good. That's helpful. And then secondly, on the Q1 call, you extolled a pretty constructive multi-year outlook for subsea orders if memory serves, kind of a high single-digit rate of annualized growth, predominantly driven by, the strong development backlog that currently resides with with the deepwater NOCs and IOCs. Does that outlook still stand? It sounds like you remain encouraged for 2015, for example.
Bill, I absolutely do. We'll start with what you just said, and I won't repeat everything I said in the last quarter's call, but we know that the backlog of undeveloped deepwater discoveries from all the major operators remains very high. We've seen no major deferments or postponements as a result of returns or cash flow, so we haven't seen any major changes in their interest in developing their deepwater portfolio. And then as I look, and you know, in this industry, we have a great deal of visibility, so I can look out into 2015 and I can see named projects, and the named projects for 2015, significant projects, in 2015 exceed the named projects that I saw in 2014, and that's what gives me confidence in the multi-year outlook.
And our next question comes from Bill Sanchez from Howard Weil. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning.
Morning, Bill.
John, I was hoping you could spend a moment talking about the press release you guys put out on Monday. I mean, clearly we've heard here, you know, a theme from you this year about standardization, wanting to see more of that with your clients. You've announced this joint industry program, if you will. I guess first, when I look at this, it looks like you're really kind of starting what I would say at the top of the food chain in terms of standardization here. I mean, this seems to be high-spec type equipment. And I'm just curious, one, when do you start realizing orders from this initiative? And I guess, two, does this joint venture ultimately trickle down to what I think we all believe are the more traditional subsea type of hardware sales that I'm assuming is probably a larger percentage of your current orders? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, well, thanks for the question, Bill. It took we had to wait till the fourth question to talk about what I really want to talk about, which is this extraordinary agreement that we were able to broker with four important operators, particularly in the Gulf of Mexico. You're right. It's the top of the food chain in terms of it. It's the highest level of technology, which you could say is, you know, there's a certain amount of risk associated with that and cost associated with that, which is what brought these four operators together to do something that's really unprecedented in the industry, and that is agree on not a science experiment, but to agree to develop and qualify and ultimately build standard equipment for high pressure, high temperature, which is required for the lower tertiary. So it's groundbreaking in terms of what it means for the industry. It's exactly what I think, and I think the industry thinks, needs to happen to improve the returns for these major deep water projects. And I am hopeful, as I mentioned in my prepared remarks, that this will set an example or a model for how we might go forward with more conventional equipment. To answer your specific question, when will this materialize in terms of orders? It's a couple years out. We're on track to deliver this technology when each of the four operators require it, but it's a couple years out. It's significant for the industry. Clearly, it's significant for us because we're the ones that will be providing this unique equipment that will be needed throughout the Gulf of Mexico. But I'm hopeful that that we'll be able to expand this approach to more conventional equipment.
Great. My follow-up would just be on Brazil. Last year, you had still a healthy level of call-out awards. We know that the delivery schedule is typically a little bit longer there. Can you just talk about, the pace of delivery on those orders that you've received? Is Petrobras still taking those in an orderly fashion in expectation of what you had? And maybe talk about future orders there. What does the outlook look like here for on the pre-salt side going forward?
Okay, well, as you know, Bill, we 2 years ago we won the pre-salt tree award, which delivered over 4 years. In 2014, we would have delivered about 50% of that. So over the next couple of years, we'll finish out that backlog for trees. We were awarded the first pre-salt manifolds. They've called off almost two-thirds, I think 14 of the 19 manifolds that we received. They've called those off. We expect further call-offs potentially this year. And then beyond that, again, we'll have a couple years of pre-salt backlog to work off. But beyond that, we would imagine that Petrobras will have to reload up on their requirements for pre-salt, and we'll participate in that.
And our next question comes from Doug Becker from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thanks. John, I think you pretty well detailed the positive outlook for subsea orders in 2015. Curious what role you expect Petrobras to play in the 2015 outlook for orders.
Well, Doug, it's hard for me at this point to know how Petrobras is going to approach that next supply awards for pre-salt. I think there's a lot of factors in there, but it wouldn't be unreasonable in 2015 for them to start to layer back up on their requirements. That's a little hard for me to say at this point, and they haven't indicated what their plans are. But if you just look at how they're consuming the equipment, if you look at their concern that they've had in the past of not being able to ensure supply of equipment, that happened 2 years ago when all their pre-salt equipment was with one supplier and they had issues. So I would imagine they're going to be somewhat conservative and not get themselves into a bind again. So it's possible that at 2015 we could see a reloading, but I'm not real clear on that.
No, fair enough. And then on subsea margins, as we think about the second half of the year, is there still execution upside? There are the 15% margins, give or take. Are we kind of capped there just given what's in backlog and likely to be converted in the second half at this point?
Yeah, hey, Doug. So, you know, the second quarter margins give us increased confidence in our ability to deliver that back half at 15. The way that I would characterize that for you is we see, and obviously the second quarter gave us, more confidence, that these margins in the back half are very achievable. And so, you know, obviously we manage a lot of risks and opportunities in those, and to the extent that we continue to do that well, we see that back half of the year being extremely achievable in Subsea.
And our next question comes from David Anderson from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Just a quick question on the subsea pricing out there. Are you starting to see that on the onesies and twosies, kind of some of those smaller awards that seem to be making up a bigger portion of your order book? Can you just give us a sense where that stands now, John?
Well, obviously, in the second quarter, it was all onesies and twosies plus our service for us. You know, I think for our company, we get a lot of the onesie-twosies because they're call-off from our frame agreements. If you don't have a frame agreement, so you don't have alliance, then the inclination for an operator is to order and tender the entire field or a lot of the field. When you have a frame agreement and you're not tendering, why do that? And you've standardized on your equipment, you just call it off. So I think our company tends to get more onesies and twosies as a result of these call-offs. In terms of pricing of the onesies and twosies, most of our call-offs are part of our frame agreements, so we get good pricing on those because of the frame agreements.
And you kind of get market rate on those, is that correct?
At least market rate. In a down market, we always get, you know, better than market rates, but in an up market, yeah, we get market rates.
Around subsea separation, Marlene, can you tell us, I've been hearing some pretty positive things from Petrobras in private, but I haven't heard them say anything publicly. Can you give us a sense as to kind of where that stands and when you think the next one could come from what you can tell right now?
Right. Well, as far as, you know, we're concerned, it's in Petrobras' hands. It's not about the technology. It's not about whether it's proven or they want to use it. That's all been settled. It works. It met or exceeds their expectations. They like the technology. They need it. This has to do with other strategies and considerations that Petrobras has into how they want and when they want to go back into those legacy fields and deal with the production declines. I'm glad you're hearing positive remarks from them. We hear positive remarks from them as well, but I don't see anything in the near term from Petrobras with regard to an order. At least they haven't hinted that to us. They've got other issues and priorities that they need to sort out before they put together their plan for ordering Marlin-type equipment.
And our next question comes from Marshall Atkins from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Hey, John, I want to come back to that standardization consortium. Is it just for high-temperature, high-pressure stuff?
It's for all the equipment that's required for the lower tertiary, which is 20,350 degree subsea production is the scope. So yes, all the subsea production equipment that those four operators will need to develop their lower tertiary is included in the scope. But it's production equipment. I don't know if you were. Yep.
Does it represent a change in customer attitude, and you know, say you come up with a standardized package, are other industry participants going to have access to that, or is that just an FMC thing?
Right. It absolutely represents a change in the industry. We've seen standardization in the industry before. Sometimes an operator will standardize within their own portfolio in a region. Sometimes they'll accept an FMC standard. But we've never seen four operators agree up front that they're going to agree on what the standard is and then buy that standard. So that's what's groundbreaking in this, that each of those four operators are going to buy the same part number to develop their lower tertiary fields, and they'll buy that from FMC. It is exclusive in the sense that they will only buy the equipment from FMC. But this equipment and this technology will be available to the market.
And our next question comes from Jim Wicklund from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning, Jim.
Good quarter, guys.
Thanks.
I know that BP and Shell are frame agreement customers. Are Anadarko and Conoco as well?
Anadarko is an exclusive alliance partner with us. Conoco is a little different. We've provided most of Conoco's subsea equipment over the last couple years, and although we don't have a formal relationship with them at this time, I'd say we have an informal partnership in that they've used a lot of FMC equipment. But you're right, three of them actually have exclusive agreements with us.
Congratulations on getting four oil companies to agree to anything. Good job.
Thanks.
Don, you were talking about water treating and that you've done some pilots and that you're moving toward commercialization of the technology. Can you talk about, you know, water treating has been the holy grail for onshore for a long time. You guys bought Pure to kind of get in the flowback business. Can you talk a little bit more about what that technology is and what it could mean?
Right. The technology is separation systems, which is we bought a separation company years ago to develop separation technology to be used on the seabed. As it turns out, that technology is pretty applicable to the shale play. So we just tapped into that. I think it's fantastic technology. But the real secret here, Jim, and you already alluded to it, is we have access to the flowback. And the pure energy acquisition is really what made this happen. There's a lot of people out there that do water treatment, and we get that. But we actually have access to it through Pure Energy. So we get the flowback. We're the ones who get it. So now we get to apply what was originally acquired as subsea separation technology to the shale plays.
And our next question comes from Jim Crandall from Cowen. Please go ahead.
Good morning, John. Can you tell me how many tree orders you had in the quarter and what the Quest total number was for the second quarter?
Okay. We inbounded 15 subsea trees, Jim. The Quest numbers haven't been published, but because Kayombo will fall in the second quarter, and that was 65 trees, I'd look for, you know, 100-ish or around 100 or less, a few little bit less trees to be shown by Quest when those numbers come out. But we were 15, and the total will be around 100 when you include the Kayombo numbers.
Okay. And could you give us a range for the full year for the industry and your thoughts about magnitude of increase in 2015?
Well, Jim, we've talked about this before, that the tree count is starting to lose some of its significance because of the manifold work and subsea services are growing. So I want to be a little bit careful when I talk about tree counts. We should be, you know, around 150 trees when the Quest numbers come in for the first half of the year. The Quest tree number is in the 400-plus range for 2014. I think at this stage you have to be a little careful because these big awards, particularly the ones in Africa that are coming towards the end of the year, could easily flip into 2015. So I'm a little hesitant to call what the tree count will be. One, because it's starting to lose some of its significance in terms of subsea inbound dollars, and two, we're getting a little closer to the end of the year. But we're probably at about 150 or so halfway through the year.
And our next question comes from Brian Pope from Tudor Pickering. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just have one question on the subsea business. With your guidance of fiscal 14 revenues of, call it, $5 billion-ish, looking at roughly close to double-digit top-line growth, and I've thought of the subsea services element of that business as being a faster growth business and higher margins. So it sounded in your prepared remarks like you're still constructive on that element of the subsea franchise, and so just wanted to get your sense for which geo markets are going to drive the services side of subsea as you think about the back half of the year and into 2015.
Well, Byron, you're absolutely right that we're looking for subsea service growth in the coming years. You know, we're already very strong in the North Sea. So for our company, we would see revenue growth in markets that we haven't served as strong as we have in the North Sea. So look to the Gulf of Mexico, look to Brazil, and look to West Africa as new geo markets where we'd see subsea services to continue to grow.
Okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
Yep.
And our next question comes from Chuck Minervino from Susquehanna. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering two questions for you. Number one, Marianne, I think you talked last quarter about the backlog conversion rates. For 14, I think it was something around 50%, and then I believe you said kind of approaching 60% by 16. I'm not really sure if that's correct from the transcript, if it was more supposed to be 15, but can you give us a little color on where you expect backlog conversion to be in 15 and then 16, if you kind of have an idea on that?
Sure. Hey, Chuck. So you're right. In 14, we're seeing, obviously, a lower conversion rate, and that's because of sort of the longer tail of the backlog we have with a project like Agena, and certainly the backlog, as John's been talking about, with respect to Petrobras and pre-salt. If you look at this year, and as we've kind of reconfirmed, we're looking at about another $5 billion of inbound coming, and that inbound's got a little bit of a different makeup than last year. So it's a smaller tail, et cetera, and we would expect to be able to see in 15 that backlog convert at a more traditional level. And when you take the backlog that we've got from this year and that what we're adding, we begin to see 2015 returning closer to that more traditional, high 50s, 60s sort of turnover. And then you take the subsea services growth, as we were just talking about. So a little too soon for me to make any kinds of prediction on 2016. That'll obviously depend on what the makeup of the inbound of 2015 looks like. But, you know, just given what we see right now and the outlook for the balance of the year in inbound, we think that 15 will see, the conversion rate return to a more normal level as we've seen in the past.
Great. So kind of closer to the 60% number. Okay. And then on the subsea margins, kind of similar to a question you got earlier, you guys have made quite a bit of progress over the last 12 months in subsea margins. Can you just help us understand how far along we are in that? I mean, have we kind of got towards the seventh inning here in the margin expansion story, or is there more to go? I know a lot of it was kind of fixing the labor force geographically and getting that right in the execution side of it. What is there a next step here that we can be focused on over the next 12 months?
We're clearly in the seventh inning. I mean, Marianne talked about exit margins of 2014 in the mid-teens, and that's where we thought we would be with good execution. So I think the further margin expansion, will come from the market.
And our next question comes from Stephen Gengaro from Stern Agee. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Actually, just to sort of follow up on the last question, John, when you look at the sort of, I guess, creeping up of pricing on the subsea side over the last year, and you talked a little bit about the better backlog that you executed in the second quarter, where does it stand now as far as sort of that margin mix in the backlog versus, say, the beginning of the year, even a year ago?
Well, a year ago we had low margin projects, so the result of a combination of some of our execution challenges and pricing from 2 and 3 years ago. And those throughout last year and into the first half of this year have been exiting our backlog and being replaced by better margin business that we've obtained over the last year as the pricing environment has improved. And so I think when you get deeper into the second half of this year, you're going to see most of the backlog reflect the margins that we've experienced in this more favorable pricing environment. So that's where you got the response I did. The last question was, I think we're starting to see the margin expansion slow down a little bit, both as a result of our improved execution and the backlog now starting to almost entirely reflect the better market environment.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
And our next question comes from Michael Lamet from Guggenheim. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, John. Good morning, Marianne. If I could just follow up on the subsea services discussion a little bit with a question more specifically about intervention tool utilization visibility over the